Les colloques du Collège de France.
It was a real pleasure to see and hear Mahmoud Al-Shaer, and of course I have done so. We have had the exchange by video conference for some time, but to see you on a big screen this time. is really very very moving. So it's been a long day, and we had compelling, outstanding presentations. And I do not want to exhaust you with commentaries paraphrasing what has been so eloquently expressed by social scientists and writers all day long. So I will just share with you a few reflections that are nourished by their reflection. So briefly, some remarks on the wealth of thoughts, and of course I will not exhaust them, thoughts, analysis, and poems to which we've been exposed today. So first, we learn, or simply were reminded, that to understand the present, that is the 2 years that may seem in a certain way almost beyond the intelligible, we need to take into account time, temporality, both as continuity and discontinuity. So against the official narrative that there's a war on Gaza as a response to 7 October attacks, which is factually true, but completely erases history, we were reminded the continuities of the situation in Palestine. We were reminding how the project of expulsion and to a certain degree eradication of Palestinians from Palestine has a long history. We were reminded that the mobilization of the Holocaust as an argument in this process has been also existing for some time, that the human shields were not a recent invention, but had also a history. But of course, there were also discontinuities that the present moment, with what we heard being described as overkilling, as something specific that is beyond what we've seen before. That the Holocaust, which is today mobilized, has not been mobilized in the same way since the creation of the State of Israel. There was a time when it was not it was not appropriate to refer to the Holocaust, but instead to show the strength of the Israeli Jews in building their country, and the memorialization of the Holocaust is relatively recent, a few decades only. And I would even say that what we have learned about the last 2 years is the combination of both the mobilization of the ideology of the strong and of the ideology of the victims, which had been successive in time. We have also seen the discontinuities of human shields, the novelties, the invention in producing new forms of human shields by dressing Palestinians so that they would be exposed to possible attacks, to dress them with military uniforms. And And we also saw how the temporality works differently in terms of erasure. So for a long time in Israel, there was the erasure of the history of the Nakba. And recognition, or to a certain degree, of its existence, what has appeared is a different way, is indifference, and sometimes even proud claim of what was what went on in 1948. The second thing, perhaps, is the impossibility to ponder the current situation in Gaza without giving full space, full importance to the question of the body in its materiality, in its signification, the body in all its forms. So the body dismembered, ashlia, the body parts, the remains of what were men, women, children. Corpses being held, being kept, being taken away from the Palestinian families so that they could not honor their dead. But also the destruction through the opening of and devastation of cemeteries, the making of mass graves, the bulldozing of bodies and members, limbs. There was the body as flesh, flesh used as a prey in human shields. They were the body amputated without anesthetics. They were the maiming of young adolescents by snipers shooting in their knees. There was the body also as resistance, resistance to death, resistance to time. So I think rarely the body has been so present as in these recent times, in this specific context, and in the words of our speakers. Third thing I thought of special interest in what we heard is the weaponization, the instrumentalization of what is considered as the intellectual production of the liberal West, what is considered as neutral knowledge, what we call disciplines, which were used against them, against themselves. So the weaponization of law to justify the annihilation of a people through human shields, or the invocation of human shields. The weaponization of psychoanalysis to legitimize massacres as a response or as a normal reaction to a traumatized country, nation. Weaponization of history to deny the existence of the genocide. And beyond even the very tools to defend human rights were instrumentalized as well, and we all know how the weaponization of antisemitism has served to constrain the freedom of expression. Fourth, what remains to explicate probably, although we had elements in presentation, is both the level of cruelty of Israeli soldiers and prison guards, and even the euphoria in the population in the performance and knowing about the performance of this cruelty, as we've seen in Israeli social media, Israeli official television, and the level of indifference of most countries in the world. I mentioned several times Western countries, but we know that it goes far beyond the West. And even the complicity in their support expressed to this murderous action. So I think that there remains something here to explicate. And I was at a conference in Berlin 2 days ago, the title of which is sufficiently explicit to be named, Anti-Palestinianism. And this is an expression that has gone some presence in reflection, and even if it's been discussed, which is probably a combination of anti-Arab racism, Islamophobic ideology, even though many Palestinians are not Muslims, and confusion with terrorism, with the history associated with Fatah, PFLP, and today Hamas and Islamic Jihad. And this reaction to Palestinians, which certainly participate in the explanation of the cruelty, indifference, and complicity, is of course associated with the dehumanization of which we had many examples today. And dehumanization is a word that I've been critical of, that I use very parsimoniously, because I think there's an abuse of the term which weakens its meaning. But in this case, I think we have multiple forms of dehumanization of Palestinians. And we heard about that today. The comparison with animals, of course. But also the ignorance that not only Israelis could be suffering from trauma, but also Palestinians. The sort of disenfranchisement of civilian status that is not recognizing that civilians are civilians when they are Palestinians, since they are being used as human shields and can be killed against, of course, the international law on war. The deprivation of mourning, for which we had examples today about the not giving access to the body of the dead relatives, the dead children, the dead adults, but also the treatment, the desecration of the bodies. And in front of this dehumanization, there's this resistance we've heard about. And I say resistance against the word resilience. I think that there's, again, an abuse of the word resilience when we're talking about forms of resistance. Resistance through poetry. And we heard so many moving, beautiful examples this afternoon. But it's not only about text, the text of the poems, but it's also poetry as a form of life, as a way of existing, of resisting. And resistance also through the sense of belonging, of which we had example this afternoon, a sense of belonging to a territory, to a home that has been lost, but where there's the imagination of a return. So all these are forms of resistance, and some of the older poems we've seen on the screen and we've heard in Arabic, which is something we don't hear so often in this amphitheater. These verses reminded us in the long term, this form of resistance through poetry. Lastly, and to conclude completely, I want to thank our speakers, not only for their talent, for the deep, profound talks that we heard all day, but also for their courage. Of course, they didn't mention it, but probably all of them, or at least most of them, have paid a high price for their commitment to justice, to rights. They've been harassed, they've suffered doxing, being for some arrested, prosecuted. So I want to pay tribute to their determination to affirm truth in front of untruth and against silencing and repressing. I believe we have proven today through your presentation, but also through your presence, you, the public, so numerous, so respectful of the speakers, that it was possible to address difficult questions without fear of pressures from authorities or partisan and communitarian groups. We heard this afternoon the desperate verses of the poem "Pull Yourself Together" by Ibar Bounada, who was murdered at the beginning of the war in Gaza, a poem translated by Huda. And these verses are "How alone we are, this is an age of insolence, and no one will stand by our side, never. Perhaps today we bore witness that however abandoned Palestinians are, they are not completely alone." Thank you.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.